Don't be discouraged. The man, he ain't so hard to understand. You know, he's not trying to make trouble. He's just stressing out like every other fan. Well, there's good in every team. Things aren't always what they seem. You can always find a winner if you try. Hey, things will be better. Oh, yes. Oh, yes, they will for Parker and the man. Oh, yes, they will for Parker and the man. Even though Mike Wilson, he can't understand. Parker and Wilson. Sports Night with Parker.
Okay, we're beginning our fine one of our holiday podcasts. We have a slew now of holiday because the Christmas season is upon us. Holiday podcasts, and we come to you tonight from Billy Sims Barbecue at 10 Mile and Telegraph. We always enjoy being at Billy Sims Barbecue. I'm Mark. This is Rob right over here. And Rob, how do you enjoy being at Billy Sims for the holidays?
Very good. I'm the pulled pork. You see, I just munched it down.
Pulled pork.
Yes. If it was me, it would be pulled beef, but pulled pork, normally.
Pulled pork?
There you go. It was very good.
There's a joke in there I won't go to, you know.
No, let's leave that out, all right?
I want to start with our winner of the latest ESPN Detroit T-shirt. We have a winner.
Speaking of,
yes, I've taken care of you. Craig Claiborne, not Craig Kilborn. Whatever happened to that guy?
Disappeared.
Seriously.
Craig Kilborn. He had another show, you know.
Yeah, for like 5 seconds.
I know. It was on Fox. It was after. They tried to do it like a fourth. I don't know, it was like Inside Edition. It was supposed to be like 4:30 in the afternoon or something like that. Didn't work.
Remember he left originally because he was going to be a big movie star? That took off, didn't it? I think he was in the one movie with Will Ferrell, and that was the end of it. It was the end of his thing. Anyhow, this guy's name is Craig Claiborne from Wayne. He emailed us at parkerandtheman@yahoo.com. He was the first one to do so. He gave a Parkerism. I think it was just go get Parkered again, but that's fine. And he wins an ESPN Detroit T-shirt. You can do the same. Just email us at parkerandtheman@yahoo.com. First one to do so, based on how the emails come in, will win an ESPN Detroit T-shirt. I don't even care if you do anything. You can just email us and you win the thing, because I got something to give away. And although Rob is taking a big hit on those. Big hit on the prize closet.
Be quiet.
Really taking a niche out of the thing.
I thought you had a ton of those.
Dude, these are from October of last year.
But you don't
How many could I have left?
I don't know. I thought you had a number of them. It's all right.
No, we gave away a lot when we actually were doing stuff over there. So, gave away a ton of them. All right, let's do Lions. Snowball 13. It was very funny. It was very wacky. It was very cool to see the snow. Okay, get over it. They lose anyhow to the Eagles. 34-20 in the snow to go to a 7-6. Eagles, that was a big win for Chip Kelly to get to that eighth victory. Got outscored 34-6. In that game, after taking a big lead, everybody thought it 14-0. The way the Lions had played in the snow, they kind of were masters in that horrible gunk. And people go, oh, my, look at this, game's over. Philadelphia can't do this. The Lions are better suited to playing. Why they would be, I have no idea. That made no sense.
Since they play indoors, right?
I guess they have northern climes. They can go outside and do their thing. That they like they practice in snow we never have. We don't even get a lot. We haven't had any basically this year. But they led 8-0 after the half. It was 0-0 after one. Joique Bell, Reggie Bush did not play. He supposedly slipped or something or re-injured some ankle deal in the pregame, in the warm-up.
On a snowball or something, on a snow?
Slipped on a snowball because the snow was just coming down at that time. So it was a lot slippier. You know, actually, it was easier when there was like 6 or 7 inches of snow on the ground.
I'll say this about Reggie Bush. At least he's consistent, Mark. What's the MO of his career?
Injuries.
Okay. Just so you know.
You knew it going in.
You knew it going in. You know what you were getting. And you know what? He lived up to it. So there you go.
All right. So they get, you know, this thing starts and it just kind of escalates to a really big offensive game, as it turned up, because it was a defensive battle. Royale early. Rasheen Mathis had played great. Chris Houston, first interception of Nick Foles since Foles took over as quarterback from Michael Vick and Matt Barkley. First interception of 237 passes, and then came the third quarter after the 8-0. And Jeremy Ross all of a sudden made watching a Lions special teams game like fun again for what he did in the second half.
Because what? First time since Eddie Drummond? Is that the
first time since Drummond?
Take a
first time for a punt return. The last guy to do punt return and kick return for the Lions in the same game was Eddie Payton.
Wow.
In 1977. I think that was the game against the Vikings that it was kind of a big deal. He had like 300 return yards. Walter Payton's brother, Eddie Payton.
Wow. I mean, it's been so lean in those, you know, in punt returns or kickoff returns. So for Ross to be able to come in and make it, like you say, interesting and be able to do that, you need those once in a while, Mark. You just do.
Well, the irony of it was that they just released Michael Spurlock on Saturday. Remember, he was your starter at the start of the year. Then all of a sudden, Ross was picking off the scrap heap from Green Bay. He was just supposed to come in, maybe do the occasional return and be a backup receiver. And it turned out he was doing such a good job, they figured they could finally release Spurlock, and they did that on the 7th.
Well, he had the big game against Green Bay on Thanksgiving Day. So they looked at it and said, okay, this guy is playing better than that guy. Let's get rid of him and let's upgrade.
But this started to go back and forth. So Ross returns the 58-yarder. The Eagles come right back with the long pass to Riley Cooper and then the touchdown to DeSean Jackson. So now it's 14-6. When everybody thought, oh, 14-0, game over. I was already getting texts. Eagles might not score today. Eagles might not score today at 14-0. And then in the fourth, it all went crazy. LeSean McCoy with the 40-yard touchdown run. And they had the whole two-point thing. They couldn't kick. David Akers, one was blocked. The ensuing kickoff, Ross goes again. 99-yard kick return. They missed the kick. They missed that one from David Akers. Then McCoy again. 57-yard rushing touchdown and the two-point conversion. That's when Philly took the lead at 22-20.
And from there, I mean, when you look at the second part of the game, and what I mean by after 14-0, Mark, to be outscored 34-6, and don't forget, Philly had a chance at another touchdown at the end of the game and just kind of decided not to.
It just fell down. He just kind of slid down.
Right, and just said, okay.
Didn't want to run it up.
Didn't want to run up the score, but they obviously could have scored another touchdown, which is just incredible when you think about the snow that was going on, the snowstorm, and the slow start.
Well, Shady McCoy, that's his nickname, Shady, LeSean.
Slim Shady,
Eminem. Shady McCoy starts rolling in the fourth. He goes over 200 yards. When he got to 206, and this kind of surprised me, that became the all-time single-game Philadelphia Eagles rushing record, breaking the mark set by Steve Van Buren, who's in the Hall of Fame.
Martin Van Buren, he was president, right?
Martin Van Buren.
So long ago, he went on to become president.
Martin Van Buren. One of the legends, Steve Van Buren. It was a 64-year-old Eagles record, and he also became, I think, only the fourth Eagle ever to gain 5,000 yards in an Eagles career. The other three, I think I asked you this and we didn't finish it, are Wilbert Montgomery, Brian Westbrook, and then Van Buren. So now he's the fourth. I thought Deuce Staley might have done that, or even Randall Cunningham had a ton of...
You know, it's funny, I thought of Randall Cunningham being one of those guys, because he ran a lot.
They were in the 4,000-yard range, but never that many in a single game either, but those were the four. Wilbert Montgomery played for the Lions for 1 year, too. So he is... You know, look, we know what McCoy does, and he did what he does. That's what he does. He comes up with these big days. He runs in spurts.
And you know what? You got to be able to, Mark, when you have a real running back like that, it makes the quarterback's job a little bit easier. There's a lot of respect factor. You know what I mean? You just can't charge the quarterback because this guy will run by you, so you got to kind of hold your position. It gives the quarterback time to throw. That's why Foles has had an unbelievable season since he took over as starter. And Philly's won a lot of games. I mean, what are they, 8-1 or something? Or I mean, in the last nine? They've won a lot of games.
Remember they couldn't win at home for a while either?
They had lost a lot.
I think they lost 9 straight at Lincoln Financial.
Yes, and they had, remember, they won their first game. It was very impressive. You remember the new offense with Chip?
Oh, everybody said, this is fun to watch.
And then all of a sudden they've like lost 3 or 4 in a row, and people are like, oh, I don't know.
Chip Kelly, oh.
And now look where they are, and they're in the driver's seat.
Well, I think what I really wanted to get to about McCoy is how freaking embarrassing. Seriously. Nick Fairley, Dominican Sue, the rest of you cats, how embarrassing that the guy breaks the all-time Eagles record, a record that had stood for over 6 decades, on a day when you shouldn't have been able to put your foot down on the ground. Really? I mean, you're supposed to be the great rush defense.
Right, they were fourth. They came into the game fourth in the NFL, so everybody was...
It was the pass they were giving up. They were 26 right. against the pass.
Right, giving them all this credit about that, and I agree with you, Mark. For that to be broken on a snowy day, we're not even talking about like a little snow. We're talking about a snowstorm, right? A flat-out snowstorm.
Flat-out blizzard.
Yes. So for that to happen and for the Lions to be that poor when people couldn't have had nice, good footing, Because of the conditions.
Well, Polk is the one that iced it with that last touchdown, like you said. They could have made it 40-20, but it was 34-20 final. First downs, if you remember this from the game, it took a while for the Eagles even to get their first down of the game. The Lions had, like, bunched up six or seven before the Eagles got their first. This is how it finished. Eagles 23 first down, Lions 11. Total yards, Eagles 478, Lions 228. Penalties, Lions 9 for 48, Eagles 1 for 5 yards.
And, you know, for people calling up radio shows and complaining about the officiating, you know, when you have a reputation and you're a team and you...
I got my eye on you.
They mark, don't they?
I got my eye on you, Sammy.
Right. It's true, though, right? They look at you a little harder because that's your reputation. And also, you know, what does everybody say about the Lions? Undisciplined, right? That's Jim Schwartz. You got to put the hammer down to stop that. You can't. How could Philly have won, Mark? 9-1?
Look, every time we talk about the official, which I can't stand, most of the time the calls are pretty accurate. Most of the
and
time.
And, Mark, you know what? Sometimes you'll get a bad one, but there will also be one, a bad one for the other team. It normally about balances out, evens out. Would you say that? Most of the time.
I think it absolutely it does. I think the NFL is all about balance in that regard. No one goes through the year going, you know what, we really got job the entire season. We never got a call our way. Come on. Of course you did. You just don't want to admit it. You want to play the sad sack routine because that's how you explain losses. Remember I always say you never like how you lose?
Never. But just in this case, you got to look at this and say, the only thing that I think, and let's just talk about the Lions situation. Everybody, Mark, after they got off to the start, we're talking 11 wins. They're going to run the table. Look at the schedule. Look how they've lost 3 out of 4. And the one game that they won, right? First of all, Pittsburgh wasn't playing that well. Pittsburgh beats them. It's on the road. Tampa Bay.
Oh, please.
Tampa Bay wasn't playing. Please. Right? Tampa Bay beats them.
Please, Rich Curbelo. Please.
And then our special guest tonight.
Rich Curbelo's here.
That's right. He's hanging out with us at the podcast for a little bit.
Billy Sims Barbecue. Hello, Billy Sims Barbecue people.
There you go. And then, you know, they drub Green Bay. Matt Flynn was absolutely...
You just said drub.
They drubbed them. But Matt Flynn, Mark, what? Was
what?
All horrible.
Horrible. Horrible. Like today, which he was great.
Give credit, they won. They won that game Thanksgiving. And then here you go to Philadelphia with a chance to go strengthen your lead on a division. And you know what you did? Nothing. You just gave it up. You just gave it up.
Like a...
$2 whore.
$2 whore, Johnny Morton. $2 whore.
That's the all-time line.
It is the all-time. All right, the good parts, I guess, were Drake Bell with the 127 total. At one point, I was tweeting this today, because I tweet. Curbelo, don't kid yourself. I'm a tweeter from long way back. When he was starting to get a lot of carries early, I said, I do know this number. The record for the most carries in the National Football League for one game is by whom? Gentlemen? Anybody? Rich? Rob? Who holds that record? The number is 45. And I really thought Bell could carry 45 today with that kind of a... We're doing this on Sunday. It's Jamie Morris.
Oh, wow.
Former Michigan stud Jamie Morris of the Washington Redskins.
Unbelievable. Almost, he had 45 carries.
Almost and 25 years ago to the day.
45 carries and 46 yards. That's unbelievable.
No, 152. But it wasn't a lot for 45. 152.
No, that's not. Right?
No. But he didn't approach Jamie's record, so that record is safe for now. And Jeremy Ross, 6 returns, 243 and 2 touchdowns. So really, here's how it shakes out. The only real Lions offense of the entire day was the first touchdown to make it 8-0.
Yep. Calvin was missing in action, 49 yards. What do you have, 3 catches?
3 catches.
49 yards. He was missing in action. Stafford didn't throw a pick, but he didn't throw a touchdown.
He was 10 of 25, 148, and nothing else.
No, and Moses' quarterback rating was like in the 60s or something. It wasn't good. But you can't go out.
And Foles was only 11, 22, 179, and a touchdown.
No, but when you got a guy rushing, they
217 for McCoy. Yeah.
The team rushed for 301.
Yeah, right.
So when you're rushing like that, you don't have to throw the ball that much if you're getting 5 yards a carry.
The turnover bug again. They had 3 to the Eagles one, so that's, what, 19 in the last five
games?
But
they fumbled seven times.
7 times total.
Right,
yeah.
And 3 they lost.
Which stopped drives and whatnot.
Right.
It hinders your progress. So really, they would have been better off phoning it in, except that Jeremy Ross wouldn't have excited you with 2 returns. So it was worth seeing, I guess, for the Jeremy Ross returns. By the way, they're now 13-14 and 2 all-time against the Eagles. There was only two NFC teams they were over 500 against on the road. One was Philly. They were 8-7 coming in. So now they're 8-8. So that leaves one team in their history that they're over 500 on the road in the NFC, and that's the Atlanta Falcons. So every other team, they have a losing record on the road to them, which isn't surprising. Most teams do have a better road record against opponents than, you know, unless you're playing teams a lot. But, you know, the Lions have bad road records against the Bears and the Packers all the time.
When you got two of the longest losing streaks in the history of the NFL.
Vikings.
Right? Mm-hmm. I mean, what do you expect? And you haven't won in Green Bay in 20-some-odd years.
All right, let's talk about the next game. It's Monday night game. At Ford Field, I think they should pump snow in all the time. That was so fun to watch today, and I didn't like it at first. I thought it was bad football, and then I kind of enjoyed it. So I said, let's pump snow into Ford Field. Let's do this every week.
I'll give people credit. I'm serious. And I've been to Cold Shea Stadium and when I was a kid, Mark, to watch the Jets play in the snow and whatnot, and you know, a little bit of snow, but not like that. And for those fans that stick around and watch that game, I give them credit because that was – to sit there, you got to be a true fan.
Once your body gets used to it, it's not as terrible as you think it is.
But it was a mess.
Well, we're lucky here. We got an indoor place, so we don't have to worry about whatever happens. And the Ravens played in some snow today in Baltimore, and they won. They were down. This is a great finish. If you didn't hear what happened to the Ravens, the Super Bowl champs.
Alcoa presents fantastic finishes.
Alcoa?
Remember that?
I do. Dennis Pitta came back, who was a big Super Bowl hero. All right, so here's the deal. Baltimore is leading Minnesota 7-6 in the fourth. It's 7-6. Matt Castle's touchdown pass makes it 12-7 Vikings. Now, it stays 12-7 all the way down to 2:07 to play in the game. All right, it's 12-7.
Really?
Only 127 seconds remain in this football game. Final score, Ravens 29. Vikings 26. There were five touchdowns in the final 2:07 of the game. Five touchdowns in 127 seconds. I don't know if that's a record or not, but I don't know how many teams are going to score more. This is between the both teams. But here it's 12-7 with just before the two-minute warning, and the final ends up being 29-26. That was pretty cool. Flacco went 28 of 50 for 245 and three touchdowns. He was picked three times. Ray Rice had 67 yards. That's what's coming to Ford Field for Monday Night Football. And I don't think the Lions have played, obviously, a bigger specialty game in 20 years. I'll go back to the 91 season, probably, than what they're about to face with the Ravens and Flacco on Monday night.
Huge game. Ravens, they need it. Lions need it, Mark. It's one of those games. And just coming off another piss-poor performance in Philadelphia, this is... We've seen this over and over. I don't know. You know what, Mark? I'm going to go out on a limb. I just am. The Lions will not win another game. I'm figuring
out. Well, you know my sheet. I don't have winning another game. I have losing to Baltimore, losing to the Giants, and losing to the Vikings. I don't have winning another game. I'm holding to my sheet that I did in August.
And the reason I'm going to say that, because you say, okay.
Last time you did that, they did not win another game.
Right. But the reason I'm going to say it is that when I look at this team, the game that they've won, I just keep saying, no Aaron Rodgers, Andrew Cutler. Look at the guys who are playing. They're playing. They're going up against full-strength teams and quarterbacks. And I'm just not feeling this team when you think of where they are. The division was handed to them. Green Bay, Chicago's banged up. Here you go. Take the division. Had a chance to run away with it, Mark. And you know what? Now you're looking at you lost 3 out of 4. And
The Packers are back to 6-6-1. They're the same losses as you do.
And that tie, Mark, can come. That tie might wind up costing you because now that win was big. Now if Aaron Rodgers comes back to play the last three games and they win all three, you're in trouble. Mm-hmm. You're in trouble.
And the Bears have their
game
coming up.
The only way you get in is what? They got to win a division. There's no wild card.
Not for them.
No.
No, not for them.
They got too many losses.
So at 7-6, the Baltimore Ravens are in. We've been looking at that one on the schedule because it's a Monday night game, which is rare around here. I think it's still only, the third Monday night game total in the last 15 years.
Yep. I remember they played the Rams on a Monday night at the Silverdome. Well,
that was a colossal, epic fail.
It was 35-0, right? It was embarrassing.
That was the one where they had to tape down the field.
They almost had to cancel it.
With duct tape.
Mark, I bet you if it wasn't a Monday night game, they might have tried to cancel. It was bad.
Well, it was very dangerous.
Right. And then of course, the big one against the Bears a couple years ago, and now this one.
That's it. That's all they played Monday Night Football in the last decade and a half. So
that's incredible.
They don't rack them up. That's for sure.
That's incredible.
ESPN crew don't come here much. You know, Tirico would like to be here more. He lives here. He lives in Ann Arbor. But
I was gonna
shout out to Mike Tirico.
I was going
to
say the last time that...
Hashtag Mike Tirico.
They did Monday Night Football. I think Dandy Don Meredith called the game. That's
and Howard Cosell was in the building.
And Howie.
Other NFL, we had talked about the Packers. They did have the comeback win. They were down 21-10 against the Falcons.
Season. Wasn't that huge?
It was, because 6-6-1 puts you right in there. You got the same losses now. You're tied in the loss column. To win 22-21, Falcons are 3-10. I don't think Mike Smith is yet on the hot seat, but it's getting warm.
I don't know. He's been there a long time, Mark, and I don't know.
He hadn't gotten to the promised land, so at least Mike Tomlin, even though he's on the hot seat, has won a Super Bowl. You know,
right? But
that
just
keeps you there for 5 years.
Mike Smith, I don't know. I don't think there's a foregone conclusion he's coming back.
We'll get to the coaches in a second, but Kansas City blowed out Redskins in Washington.
They got blowed out.
Got blowed out.
Let me tell you,
Kirk Cousins came in for your buddy RG3.
Was that right?
Yep.
And you know what? The other thing is, Shanahan, I mean, did you see the story that came out today?
About him last year, said he cleaned out his office.
Cleaned out his office.
Was ready to quit.
Right, and all that. Because the owner and once that story comes out, the owner and the quarterback are too close, and their relationship is hindering the rest of the locker room and all that. It's just a bad, it just sounds too bad. And then for them to come out after that story comes out this morning, and then what happened? They're down like 30-0 or whatever, like before you know it. Or what was it?
31-0.
31-0. I'm sorry. Yeah, they were down all of a sudden.
And Andy Reid, who was almost talking like he was scared the Chiefs wouldn't win another game, wink, wink, got their 10th win, so they're good to go. They're 10-3. Skins are 3-10.
Because they've lost 3 in a row. Even though they scored a lot of points, they just gave up more.
And the Pats rally to beat the Browns was literally Tom Brady, 2 touchdowns in 61 seconds. How about this? New England was down 6-0 in the third and also down 19-3. Before they came charging back to win 27-26.
Cleveland, typical choke job. Onside kick. How do you... Okay, Tom Brady gets the touchdown. And then you're going to... Mark, there was only like a minute or so. You choked on
the... Dude, it's the one team...
On the onside.
It's the one city that really can lament worse than the Lions is the Browns. I mean, the Browns... Between two clubs, two different franchises, the Browns have just been absolutely terrible since Jim Brown left.
But I'll give them credit.
For the most part.
At least their team did go somewhere else and win a Super Bowl.
But...
That is their team.
They hate Art Modell, so
no,
that doesn't count.
That is their team. That is their team.
Technically.
The Ravens or the Browns. I'm sorry.
And the other big news today is Tom Dempsey kicked a 63-yard field goal with the club foot in 1970. It's been matched 3 times by Jason Elam, Sebastian Janikowski, and the Detroit Lions' very own David Akers, who did it in 2012. And that is now the second longest field goal in the history of the National Football League. Matt Prater kicked a 64-yarder. To kick the 63-yarder as the number 2 on the all-time list. He did that for Denver today.
I'm going to share this with you. I've never shared this before, ever, on the radio.
It's about a club foot?
No.
You got a club foot.
It's about Tom Dempsey.
Well, he's got a club foot.
All right, can I tell a story?
Yes. I can't wait.
I found out this information from my moles. This is his honeymoon night. So after he gets married or whatever that night, he's staying with the in-laws to his wife, new wife. So he's upstairs, and, they're about to get ready for bed or whatever.
Okay, I don't know about
Go ahead. It's fine.
It's a podcast. We can do whatever we want.
We can do whatever we want. What's,
you can swear. You can go sexual.
Just hear me out. It's just okay.
I'm listening to you.
So Tom Dempsey takes off his shirt. He has hair all over his chest. The girl runs downstairs. She married a nice Italian girl. Runs downstairs to tell her mother, Ma, it's disgusting. Tom takes off his chest. Takes off his shirt. He has hair all over his chest. The mother's downstairs making pasta. She says, honey, Angelina, a man is supposed to have hair on his chest. You go back upstairs with Tom. I'll stay down here and make the pasta. Okay. Tom takes his pants off. He has hair all over his legs. Angelina runs downstairs. Ma, it's unbelievable. Disgusting. Tom took his pants. His hair all over his legs. Angelina, a man is supposed to have all over his legs. You go upstairs with your husband.
Your bellow's already on the floor.
You say, your husband, I'll stay down here and make pasta. Takes his shoes off and socks. Takes his socks off. And she looks down at him. And she runs outside. And she says, Ma, Tom took his socks off. He has a foot and a half. Mother says, you stay down here and make pasta. I'll go upstairs with Tom.
Have you been waiting for me to mention Tom Dempsey's name?
Yes, I've been waiting for Rich, come on, give it up.
Were you excited that I mentioned Tom Dempsey's name today? Seriously?
Oh, come on, you gotta admit. That's
I never
not
heard
bad.
That before. That's pretty good.
Huh?
Got a foot and a half.
Got a foot and a half.
You said I'll say it's
a big pasta. I'll go upstairs with Tom.
All right, well, 64 yards is now the standard. On that note, a little Rob Parker podcast holiday humor for you. 64 yards is the thing. I'll just a couple of coaching things. We already know the Texans fired Gary Kubiak. Lovie Smith is really the name that's being mentioned in Houston to replace Kubiak. There's a lot of talent there. I think that would be a good job for him because I think something just went amiss this year. Hell, I think you picked them to go to the Super Bowl this year.
Did you? I did. Houston. Oh, yeah, in Houston? Mark, the talent, they have the talent. Now, they have some injuries, but that team should not. They lost 11 in a row.
And the Ed Reed experiment was terrible.
It shouldn't be that bad, and I think, you know what? Sometimes you got to make a change, and I'm with it. Sometimes a change has to be made. And the expectations in Houston were big, and you know what? They wet the bed.
Ken Wisenhunt is the name being mentioned in Tennessee. Now, Munchak's not fired yet, but Wisenhunt, and I said to you when I came in, I said, I'm good with Wisenhunt getting a second chance if Lovie gets another job. I think both guys deserve a second shot at coaching in the NFL.
I don't think very, very few guys, you know, like Mortimer got the one shot. They don't seem like he, you know.
I think Marty will get another shot someday.
I don't know. It's been a long time.
Young enough guy, too.
It's been a long time, though. But anyway, my point was.
And when his kid gets to the NFL, I'm rolling my eyes, Skylar Morningwig, who did not do Florida any favors.
But my point is, I agree some of these guys deserve second chances. I'm just, the Lovie thing was weird that he won 10 games. Not too many guys get fired, Mark, winning 10 games. I know they didn't make the playoffs, and they had a bad second half, because remember they won a lot of games early, and then the second half wasn't as good, so he got whacked. So he deserves another shot.
He got whacked. Leslie Frazier, do you think he's out in Minnesota, the way things are going there?
I think so, too. Even though they are trying to come back and make and play a little bit better, I don't know. Leslie Frazier, he just doesn't wow me. Is there a wow factor with Leslie Frazier?
Wow. Oh. No, because he hasn't done anything. Mike Tomlin, because of the little incident with the sideline, is he out in Pittsburgh?
They don't fire coaches. They've had, what, three coaches in the last, what?
It's just Chuck Knoll, Bill Cowher, and Tomlin.
Right, that's it. And I don't know. And he won a Super Bowl.
It's like Michigan State basketball.
Right.
Judd Heathcote and Tom Izzo since 1975.
He has a Super Bowl ring mark in his back pocket, so he might get another go around. But same thing. Pittsburgh's bad, and that incident didn't make him look good.
What about Schiano now? Has he done enough in Tampa to even warrant a third year?
I don't know. You know what? That's an interesting call right there, because Mark. Also, you always have to look at it. Did you start playing after the season was over? Always
after
remember?
The bell rang, right.
Right.
We talk about that here all the time.
We used to talk about
the bell ring.
Right,
yeah.
It's over. Like the season's over. Now you're playing. You know that's not good enough.
And what about Shanahan in Washington?
Ah, he's done. I think that's
Finney. The final countdown. The denouement.
The whole thing really. Mark, go back to last year. When they win the last eight games, win the playoffs. Everybody was talking about the Redskins and everything going on there. And now look. Quarterback's benched. Was he benched?
You know what? I think he might have tweaked, and they figured, look, we're down so bad. Put right. Cousins in, get him some time. Let RG just sit. We're not coming back in this thing, so let Cousins get a little playing time. I think that's what all that was. I don't think that was a statement or anything there. I don't think that was what that was about. Start with this, and we'll take our little break in here in a second. But Spartans and Ohio State, 100th Rose Bowl coming up. I don't know how to do that. There should be more pomp and circumstance for me. I'm very careful, as you know, Rob, being a Spartan myself, to not go crazy. I try to stay as professional as possible. That's why I just burped on the podcast. I try to stay as pro.
Can you stop with that?
I'm having my soda. So I don't want to, you know, this is a big deal to me. All right? I haven't seen this much in my life. Well, once in my Spartan lifetime, which began in the 70s. Have I seen a Michigan State team go to the Rose Bowl? I was there in 88 when they beat Rodney Peete and USC, George Perlis, yay, rah, 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 go Banks of the Red Seer. And we talk about this kind of thing probably since the day we started at DFN, okay? And that is, you do the in, you're out. We have a little, like all these little slogans and things, but we always talk about gaining our attention. How do you get my attention? You don't get my attention by beating Purdue and Iowa and teams that don't go anywhere and your season's nothing. You got my attention, though, finally after all these low many years, by defeating an Ohio State team that hadn't lost a game in what is ages, we all thought it was 22, 23, whatever it was. Urban Meyer himself had a personal 25-game winning streak, going back to his last game at Florida in the bowl game. So he hadn't even lost since the day he walked onto campus in Columbus. It's at a neutral site in Indianapolis. I don't think a lot of people except Spartan fans really gave them a whole big shot. I think they thought, all right, they haven't seen Braxton Miller. They haven't seen Carlos Hyde. No one liked that all year. They're going to get railed. Neutral. If it was at Spartan Stadium, different deal. If it was in Columbus, they get killed. But at a neutral site, they still said, that's probably more like a home game. I mean, it's a short drive on the 70 for Columbus, a little further down 75, not too far for the Michigan people to come down there. But it was a tale of three games, 17-0, 24-0, and 17-0. That's really what it was. And I know you thought when Ohio State, and I said it to people, here they come. You knew they had a run in them. They weren't going to sit there and get shut out by the Spartans. And sure enough, Miller and Hyde start getting going. I think you thought at that point, choke job is in. State loses. Ohio State goes on, just like the script is supposed to be, right?
Of course I did. You didn't think so? I mean, Mark, I know you went to the
school. I didn't think they would come back when they were down 24. I was stunned at 17-0 more than the comeback.
I thought the score would wind up being 24-7. Or maybe Ohio State would add a field goal or something and win by 10. That was my prediction, is that they would win by 10. So I was shocked by the 17-0. I was. And then shocked that even Ohio State was able to come back the way they did, considering how they started the game. And I was impressed that Michigan State was able to then shake that off and win. And I always say, Mark, my biggest complaint about Mark D'Antonio is that he doesn't win big games. He won a big game. That was a big game that they finally won. And that's one, Mark, look, I just set up like this. I took notice. Okay, Michigan State.
You got my attention.
Because all year I looked and said, well, who did they really beat? I wasn't that really impressed.
Well, the one hard game they had all year, they lost to Notre Dame on the road in South Bend.
Right, and that's what I'm saying is that I kept saying, okay.
Well, you're not going to get an attention getter with Youngstown or with South Florida or with Western Michigan or Central Michigan. You're just not. And then the Big Ten was just crappy. It really was. And State didn't have to play OSU in the regular season. Didn't have to play Wisconsin in the regular season.
Right, and all those things added up, and you start saying, okay, they're good, and I know the defense is great. But really, against who? And so this game here, I thought, I never thought they were going to get blown out. Like I said, I thought Ohio State by 10. By 10 points. I thought that was legit.
Look, when you can honestly say that the best quarterback by far that you faced all season coming into the game was Devin Gardner, it wasn't even close. There was no other quarterback they faced. Devin Gardner was the best they faced all season. And he had a year, right? He too many turnovers, very so-so year. So he wasn't
blown. Line wasn't good for him. I mean, Mark, those games he's getting killed.
But look, let's do your little break. I want to come back, talk more about Michigan State. Because the pieces parts that led them to 6-6 last year were basically the same people that led them to 12-1, the first 12-win season in Spartan hit in 100 years of Spartan football. Why? Two names, and it has nothing at all to do with defense. Do come up, but first do your thing.
All right. It's time for a little commercial break. Is that what we're doing?
We call it a commercial pause.
For the cause. A pause for the cause. All right.
It's commercial ad placement.
If you need a great haircut in Metro Detroit, in the city, go to Sporty Cuts on 7 Mile Road between Outer Drive and Myers, Mark. Home of the all-even haircut, $10 for men, $8 for boys. Hey, Mark.
Yes, Rob.
Go get Sporty Cut.
It's not just barbecue, it's Boomer Q. We're talking Billy Sims Barbecue, the legendary Heisman Trophy running back of the Detroit Lions has scored big with his succulent, mouth-watering brisket, ribs, pulled pork and chicken. Sides like coleslaw, baked beans, and okie toast will complete your fantastic feast. Two easy locations, on Telegraph near 10 Mile and in Lincoln Park at Dixon Evans, Billy Sims Barbecue. And yes, I'll say it again, it's Boomer Q. Some housekeeping duties on our Parker and the Man podcast. Since you're listening to it, you probably know that there's parkerandtheman.com. But promotables, what do you got promoted? What do you got coming up, Rob, during this fine holiday week? This is the week of December 9th, holiday season 2013 upon us.
You know, I got a couple things coming.
Sounds so stupid.
The Sports Final Edition every Sunday night at 11:30 on Local 4, or I should say after the football game.
I tweet you at Rob Local 4.
That's right. And
tweet.
You can read my columns on clickondetroit.com or check them out on theshadowleague.com, a fresh column there, usually every Monday. And this Wednesday I'm going to be on Rich Curbelo's having a little show. And, Rich, I want you to come to Mark and
come to me. Come to me, my friend, Rich Curbelo. Yeah, I was going to say, we're going to stick Curbelo's ass in the air here or what?
Yeah, let him come right there. Bridge,
no, you got to sit closer to me, man. You got to come in. Come here. Don't be afraid. What do you got going on? Tell the peoples.
Well, it is the IndieBeat TV show here in Detroit and is premiering at O'Toole's in Royal Oak, Michigan, 6 p.m. on Wednesday night. Yes, Rob, you're going to be one of our many great guests that are going to appear.
He's got many great guests.
Tell people, who else is coming?
Well, we do have
scheduled to appear.
We're going to have Dino Ciccarelli.
Dino?
Yes.
Number 22?
Yes, in the house.
In the house.
And Eddie Mio, former Red Wings goalie, who has a great vodka line.
And former talk show host at ESPN Detroit 1090.
Yes. And
yeah, he's still waiting for his check.
What's that again, Rob?
He's still waiting for his check.
I know. He called me.
And also Dave Bergman.
Bergie.
Yes. We're going to talk about the Detroit Tigers situation that's ongoing and going and going.
We're going to get to the Tigers situation in this part of the podcast, too. You know, Bergie had one of the great at-bats of all time. Remember the great at-bat by Dave Bergman?
Against Roy Lee Jackson.
There you go. See, Rich Curbelo knows that big of, what was it, 14 pitches, 13
pitches? 14 pitches, correct. And let me tell you, tune in, come to Royal Oak. And, Mark, I know you're going to be there also.
Is Bergie... Oh, yeah, I'm running. Is Bergie going to talk about the big at-bat?
He will talk about the big at-bat and all the Tiger transactions in the offseason.
I hope he's not talking about the big at-bat. All right, we know about the big at-bat. We know about it.
Come on, man. It's Bergie. He's got to talk about the big at-bat. All right, so when is that again? That's Wednesday?
It's Wednesday at 6 p.m. at O'Toole's in Royal Oak. Stop on by.
Is that this Wednesday?
Yeah, the 11th.
Oh, because you know what the 18th is? It's Karen Newman's... thing downtown at the Fox Theater. Karen Newman's Christmas show. We never miss the Karen Newman Christmas show.
We never go, so we never
miss it. Go all the time to Karen to KK's Christmas show. We'll have to go to KK's. We have to go to KK's Christmas show. No, it's a must. I'll be promoting that next week, believe me. So there you go. Rich Curbelo, right? Give it up to him, Rob. Give it up to Rich.
Come on, you know that.
Give it up to Rich.
Thank you very much.
All right, so here's the deal. 6-6 last year until the bowl game. Then, of course, they won the Buffalo Wild Wings Bowl last year, Texas Tech or whatever it was, to go to 7-6. So why the difference? Why all of a sudden do they bust out and go 12-1 with the one loss being a four-point loss to Notre Dame? And the defense is the same. It's the same guys. It's the same Calhoun, and it was Denard, and it was Denikos Allen, and Marcus Rush. It's the same guys. And, yeah, they're better. You're better. You know, I went to the spring game. They didn't look any different than they did the previous year. And they had those close games last year. They all lost. How about Connor Cook? How about a little bit more play for a guy who, I know they want a number one defense in the country. They were pretty high up last year. But Connor Cook, and I said this last August in 2012, that Connor Cook should be the starting quarterback at Michigan State over Andy Maxwell.
But your head coach messed around with three quarterbacks to start the season. That took a little steam off of your Connor Cook thing where people are like, well, obviously he's not the guy, you know what I mean, because they won't make a selection of him. You know, they're playing around him. You know what they always say, when you have two or three girlfriends, that means you don't have one. Right? You don't have one. That's why you're messing around. So I think that's what discounted him a little bit, and you're right. I think the defensive thing does take the shine off a guy because everybody's talking about how great. You didn't have a pretty good defense. You had, like, the best defense, right?
Best in the country.
Best.
So over Alabama and Auburn and Florida State, all those teams.
So when you talk about the best, I think that always takes away from the quarterback.
In a crappy Big Ten, but I'm the one saying it.
Doesn't matter. Mark.
I know.
Who's on the schedule? That's the schedule.
Like I always say, that's Kirk Ferentz's fault. Or that's Kevin Wilson, Indiana's fault. That's Tim Beckman's fault at Illinois. That's Pat Fitzgerald's fault at Northwestern. That's Brady Hoke's problem. That's Daryl Hazel at Purdue. All those guys we can mention. The new guy at Wisconsin, even though Brett Bielema had a terrible year at Arkansas. But so I can't blame it solely on the Big Ten. But Connor Cook, you know, and you're right. I went to the spring game last year. We already saw the fallacy of Maxwell last year when I had John Dayton, I won't mention his name, John Dayton with me at 1090, who called me an idiot at the start of the 2012 season when I was not happy that Maxwell was the quarterback. And I say, D'Antonio is doing this because he recruited this kid out of Midland. He doesn't want to show other recruits that he's not honoring a guy who's been in the program for 2 years by starting him. He figures, I'll never get another quarterback if I do that. So why would I go there? If he's going to replace me right away with the next hot item. Okay, so he plays Maxwell. He was terrible. They go 6-6. Cook comes in and wins the bowl game. Spring practice comes. Maxwell's out anyhow with the injury. Cook plays very well in the spring game, but they still won't go that route. And you're right. Started the season with Cook, Michael Tyler O'Connor, and Maxwell.
Right, you had three quarterbacks. Remember, it was a and then he was Mark doing.
Maxwell
Mark,
started the opener.
But then they had people. You had one guy come in, play a little while, and brought somebody else in. Was it one or two games he used all three?
Yes, they all played.
Yeah,
yes,
they all played. Okay, I just knew that they were.
You wanted to start O'Connor in one of the games.
So when you do that, people look at you and go, well, he can't be that good because the coach is willing to play two other guys.
I said, it never works. So the guy gets the starting job. He solidifies it. He goes 24 out of 40 in the Ohio State game, 304, three touchdowns and a pick. He's only lost one game as a starter now. And the other guy, obviously, who had 23 yards total rushing, is Jeremy Langford. He had 23 yards last year because he's playing behind Le'Veon Bell, a guy who's starting in the National Football League for the Steelers.
Stud.
Stud time for Le'Veon Bell. Still does the whole looping over guys. And Carlos Hyde did a nice one last night, too. But Jeremy Langford, MSU record, 8 straight 100-plus yards games. Lorenzo White did 7 the year he finished, what, 3rd for the Heisman Trophy?
Which is impressive considering all the money he was carrying around.
With Lorenzo from Florida? From Fort Lauderdale? What, Rob? What are you saying? Are you saying all those?
You're
saying Lorenzo White and Hyland Hixon and Dixon Edwards and Carlos Jenkins came up from Florida because they just wanted the experience of living in East Lansing, Michigan?
Yes, that was it. That was it. Not the bundle that came on Federal Express.
How is it possible that all those Florida, they must really love the Midwest, all those Florida kids. Well, they already got nabbed for it because Perlis lost seasons because of it, had to forfeit games because of it in his final year. So we know what happened was now that's the way it goes. That's why George is always kind of laid low a little bit, even though I'm sure he's very proud of D'Antonio yesterday and Saturday. So those two guys, say what you want about defense. But to have Connor Cook, and boy, does Jeremy Langford run hard. I don't know about you guys, but what I saw Saturday against Ohio State, I saw a guy who's going to make some money in the NFL. That one, to me, that was his coming out party to the nation.
And trust me, everybody's got their eyes on it. That's when you have to play, Mark. That's how you get attention to scouts, of coaches, just what you talked about. So that's huge.
You know, an urban legend, you know, this could be something that kind of stings Ohio State. Since their 56-0 win over Purdue, Ohio State allowed 114 points in their last four games. 114. And they gave up 754 passing yards just to MSU and Michigan in the last two games.
No. They struggled down the stretch. But, Mark, it's hard to keep a streak like that alive. It just is. To win all of your games and to play at that level is still an amazing thing. But you're right. You know, the Michigan thing kind of signaled that it was coming to an end. You know what I mean? Because it... Even Michigan, for them to even be able to play with them was shocking, considering how poorly Michigan had played down the stretch themselves.
Well, so, you know, I still thought that either way, win or lose, State was going to Pasadena because Ohio State would have played for the national title. State wasn't going to fall far enough in the BCS to go to have any other Big Ten team or any other team replace them in Pasadena. So they were Rose Bowl bound either way. It would have been obviously a little more sad, I guess, for the folks in attendance at Lucas Oil. Had, you know, they gotten the Rose Bowl thing after losing, you know, and had to hold the roses after losing, because that doesn't happen a lot. But now they get to go on the high note with the win, the 100th Rose Bowl they get to be a part of in Pasadena. It's a great experience. Everybody's already getting their tickets, all the Spartan community heading out there. They'll be well represented. I bet you 30,000 Spartan people will be in Pasadena at least, if not more. I know people already gotten their packages today. They're ready to go down there now, and of course it's not for another, you know, 3 weeks.
And plus, I think it's going to be easier for a lot of Spartan people to get there, because I think they're accepting a bridge card, so I think you'll be...
Oh, my. Really, the bridge card? Are you playing that card on the 9% unemployment till this date, which really is 18%, but that's a whole other show?
Oh, did I say bridge card? Sorry.
You know, it's not even a bridge card anymore. I think it's called the... Well, it's bridge card for the welfare, but it's EUC or ECU for the unemployment card now. You get that unemployment debit card.
All right.
Yeah. All right, look, Rose Bowl against Stanford. David Shaw's a Detroit guy. He's from the area. David Shaw could be done. He might be NFL bound. I mean, he's the next big thing to maybe being an NFL head coach at Stanford, and what he's done there, picking up the ball from Jimmy Harbaugh. And there's a lot to like about him. We get to see Kevin Hogan and the two ties, Gaffney and Montgomery. There's national respect, at least for MSU, for the first time in a long time, in at least a quarter century, in my opinion.
They should.
Even when Saban was there, he lost too many games to Nebraska by 50 points.
First of all, at a fourth ranked school in the country.
Up to number four in the nation, six spots.
Four in the nation, and they have the number one defense. You just said it. Better than Alabama, Auburn, some of these other schools. So if you go in and think that Michigan State and take them lightly, you're going to lose. I mean, there's no way you could take them lightly.
Can I tell you what my favorite part about that last night, and it was nothing to do with East Lansing burning couches at my old stomping grounds of Cedar Village?
Yeah, that was bad. Riots right up there.
I heard, and I used to live in, if you know Cedar Village at all, I know I'm taking a little sidebar here. We used to, for 2 years, I lived in a little building on the river. There's a little building. It's a complex of buildings. There's one right on the Red Cedar River. I was on the bottom floor. We had the best apartment in the complex. Bottom floor, facing the river. We had great parties, right, because we could use the outside there on the river. I heard that was badly damaged, my former apartment. Windows were smashed out. No, that was a bad display again last night.
Yeah, not good. But you know what? The people who started the fires and stuff, let's be honest. It had nothing to do with the game. Mark, they were just trying to stay warm.
I'll just lighting some couches and cars on fire because it was
cold last night. It was a cold night.
The heat was turned off at Cedar Millage. I call it Cedar Millage. Cedar Village and that other apartment complex that's around the corner there. But I lived there. Can't fool me about it. I lived at that place for 2 years. I know all about that place. Anyhow, getting back to what I was talking about. The one thing I thought that I liked the most is that it's so difficult, now that we have the playoff coming next year, it is so difficult to move up in the BCS when you start at number 23. I think because all these guys are coming back, Cook's coming back, Langford's coming back, three of the top four receivers are coming back. I think only Tony Lippett's out. Everybody else, Burbridge Benny Fowler's out. I think Lippett's back. McGarrett King's, the defensive guys, many of them are back. And I give D'Antonio some credit here. He has really loaded up on some blue-chip recruits that are waiting to play. I mean, just waiting to play. Can't even get in there with Marcus Rush and Denikos Allen, all those guys playing. So they're going to – I think State's at a defensive spot now where they actually reload rather than rebuild. They could be top five in the country preseason. That gets me more excited because it's the first year of the playoff. Put yourself in a position to be a part of that. See, now D'Antonio's on the clock. We always talk, you know, we have our own things with Mark D'Antonio. It's not a mystery. No, it's not a mystery.
No.
We have certain reasons why there are things he's done, but that's what happens when you've been around a long time now. He's been 7 years. But he's got an opportunity here, and he's going to get a raise, and he'll get the new contract. They all do. Gus Malzahn's got his at Auburn.
You got to get it. If you don't get it now, I mean, if you don't get a new contract after you get to go to Pasadena for the first time since Moby Dick was a guppy, when are you going to get the deal? Right? I mean, seriously.
And to beat Ohio State on the national stage and to hold the trophy.
That. Exactly.
That's what it buys you.
If that doesn't get your contract, you're in the wrong business.
So I'm cool. I'm over it. Mark D'Antonio is the head coach of Michigan State for a while. He is now the on the clock nationally. We've been waiting for this for a long time. We put Shem Beckler on the clock. We put Carr on the clock. Moeller was on the clock.
Right.
Rich Rodriguez was already on there when he got there. So was Brady. Now, for the first time, a Spartan coach. And Nick didn't do it. Nick got out before he got on the clock. He had the one good year, and he booked for LSU that year.
And you know what? You can't look at it. Look at his path. You can't criticize.
He did the right thing.
The right thing. He got the big job when it came.
Four national titles out of the deal, right? One at LSU and three at Bama. That's pretty good stuff. You're not going to question should he have left East Lansing in retrospect. But to be honest, he was never got to the state to that point. D'Antonio is the first guy since George, maybe in 88 a little bit, but probably since Duffy Doherty, to have Michigan State on a national stage. Duffy left here a long time ago, man. The 60s, remember, this is only the second Rose Bowl they've gone to since the 60s. Since 1966, only two.
Some of these streaks are unbelievable when you just think about the years and how, you know what I mean, Mark? You just start to think about it and you say, that just seemed like inconceivable or unbelievable. But then you start talking about Tigers haven't won a World Series since 1984.
And only one since 68.
You know, right. So when you start, one since 68. Think about how many years that is.
Only two since 45.
So it's unbelievable.
For a major baseball town like this is.
This is, are you kidding?
So, two World Series they won in 60, whatever, 8 years?
You're talking about a charter member of the American League, not some Johnny-come-lately. And you know what? Laugh, clown, laugh. Like the Florida Marlins are Johnny-come-lately, Mark, and they've won two in the last...
97 and 03.
Right? How many years is that, 97 and now? 20 years?
No, have they been around 20 years now?
Well, 97, I'm just saying. They won in 97.
16 years, they've won twice. But they've only been around since, what, 93?
Something so
it's
like that.
I think it's 20 years.
20 years, they got two World Series. You're talking about the Tigers.
I can't believe they've been around 20 years, the Marlins already.
So it's just amazing.
So, look, it was a great night. It was fun. I know all my people were down in Indianapolis. They tweeted. They Facebooked. It was terrific stuff. I was trying to not be geeky about it. I would not tweet during the game because I didn't want to get to be geeky and stupid. I don't Facebook during the game.
Just be honest. After the game, did you need a cigarette?
Rub one out?
Baby oil.
No. You know what? I know where you're going, and I know what you're saying. I'm not going to be... all right.
Don't be gross.
Was I that excited?
Don't be...
Yes, I was excited. I was excited for my school that finally something happened. No, I didn't need Kleenex. I didn't search for the baby oil. I know where your mind goes,
you
man.
You always say, you know, you got baby oil, cigarette, and a tissue, right?
Oh, it's like your, what was your old man meal? What was the thing again?
Oh, yeah. Sodium-free bacon. You talking about that?
Yeah,
sort of free bacon, decaf coffee, and a chest X-ray.
So for a young guy who's excited, he says you need a bottle of baby oil, some Kleenex, and a pack of smokes.
A pack of smokes. There you go. Your night is made
That's
complete.
It. You're good to go, man. And a Spartan victory over Ohio State and an urban legend, man. Just beat Urban Meyer, and I'm fine with that. So we'll talk more about that as we get more podcasts all the way up to the Rose Bowl. Michigan is going to the Buffalo Wild Wings Bowl. Wah, wah, wah.
As long as we can get some Parmesan garlic all flat.
Hey, I mean, Buffalo Wild Wings, it was great. You know, I love B-dubs. I mean, it's, you know, we did our shows at B-dubs last year in 1090, so I'm all about B-dubs. But we were coming to you from Billy Sims Barbecue here on 10 Mile and
the pulled pork tonight?
Telegraph.
You're rich at pulled pork.
I saw that. You know what? I actually was jealous because I probably should have
really
eaten
good, wasn't
very
it?
Good.
This is the same bowl that MSU played last year. They're playing K-State, Kansas State. Is Bill Snyder still the coach there in Manhattan, Kansas? Brady, a little obviously under fire after the loss to, you know, the whole thing with the two-point and whatnot. David Brandon gave him his little vote of confidence, so he's not going anywhere. It's not like Brady Hoke's going to be fired anytime soon. But I love
But the chink's in the armor. I don't care what anybody says. When you look at that guy, Mark, you don't look at him the same way. I don't care what anybody says. You could say he's going to stick around. But if you're Michigan and now you're seeing what Michigan State's doing up the road, Mark.
Oh, and guess who's passed you by a long ago?
Okay, that's what I'm trying to say. And now all of a sudden you're telling me we got Brady Hoke, and I'm talking about we.
Did Gus Johnson really say little brother last night?
Yes, he did. That's what I heard.
Gus,
love
what are you
Gus.
Doing?
Love Gus.
But what
love
is he
Gus.
Doing?
Love Gus.
Little brother.
Why?
It's not for Gus to say. Shut the hell up.
He was just trying to...
Shut up, Gus.
But he was trying to make... He's from Detroit.
Charles Davis sucks. I'm with you on Gus. Look, I had to put up with Joey Harrington in the first game.
He's from Detroit.
Harrington was awful.
Was he that bad?
He screamed the whole time.
Oh.
Screaming Joey was in that Baylor game, Texas game.
Remember when Joey came in and did a show with us?
I do. He was good. I'm glad he came in.
He came in. Did it.
At one point, Joey Harrington said, I got to admit to you, I never played special teams in college. And so, of course, I tweeted, by the way, Joey, you didn't play much quarterback in the NFL.
Wow.
Sent it right to Joey. SMU got on me yesterday on Twitter. Because in the Central Florida game, they looked like there was no people. Because they only can sit on one side of the stadium because of the ice down in Texas. SMU was playing. It was the host school. So SMU's playing Central Florida. That's George O'Leary. Of course, I tweeted after he won the game, now that's somebody to put on the resume. But SMU tweets me back and says, you understand why we did that because we had ice problems on the one side. And I said, I tweeted back. Then ESPN did you no favors because that's all they showed.
Well, they keep showing when there's nobody there, right. So what are you supposed to think, right?
I said, then why didn't you pull everybody on just the one side and tell ESPN to have their cameras on that side? And we were cool. After a while, Twitter's weird because you get into these battles with, like, things you never would have dreamed. Southern already, Methodist University.
You already know. I mean, you know.
Oh, you got some people, boy.
Yeah, you already know.
You got some real people.
You see the stuff I get.
Wow. Because you go to our Twitter, Parker and the Man, and I look at some of the stuff, the responses.
Because I retweet.
You retweet. And I do most of the tweeting, I'll admit. And then there's a guy on there, at least one, that thinks sometimes they're yours, and he just rips you. You know what I'm talking about? You got too many Twitter people. You got 25,000 Twitter people.
Right. I have a lot.
All right, other bowls of interest. Notre Dame versus Rutgers in the Pinstripe Bowl in the Bronx. I don't know if that's a bonus. You got to go to Yankee Stadium again, like the Super Bowl in Jersey. It's going to be freezing and cold and horrible. Who wants that damn bowl game? What a terrible bowl game. I don't care if it's at Yankee Stadium or not. Are you cool with that Bronx game?
I mean, it's a beautiful stadium and everything. And, you know, there's not that many bowl games up east, Mark. So, I mean, if they could pull it off in
the Yankee Stadium. Not many. That's the only one, isn't it?
Yeah, right? No, I'm saying I don't. You remember when they used to have the Urban League game every year at Yankee Stadium? They don't have that many, so.
Iowa, Texas A&M is in the Outback Bowl. Minnesota, LSU, Les Miles gets to play Jerry Kill. Good for Jerry in the Gator Bowl. Ohio State, Clemson, now they still play in the BCS, going to the Orange Bowl. Wisconsin, South Carolina, the old ball coach Spurrier in the Cap 1 Bowl. In the National Championship, January 6th. And by the way, War Eagle, Auburn, you're welcome. Where's my thank you?
Thank you.
Could Auburn ever not love Michigan State ever again, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, isn't Auburn the biggest fans of East Lansing? War Eagle, that's why I tweeted on that. War Eagle, you're welcome. FSU and Auburn. You got an initial idea about that fine
no,
content?
Not anything, no.
All right, then let's, before we get to, we'll make our pick on that in a couple of weeks. Heisman Trophy Saturday in New York. Here's my ballot. I just thought I would tell you and see what you think. By the way, Archie Griffin had to give the Big Ten Championship Trophy. You saw that at Indianapolis. Talk about a guy who wanted to be anywhere else on the face of the planet than Archie Griffin giving Mark D'Antonio and Connor Cook the Big Ten title trophy. I mean, seriously, Archie, could you at least not show it? Could you pretend you're representing the conference? And yes, you won two Heismans, you won them at Ohio State, but could you pretend that you're not representing your little buck nuts at that point? His face, he just gave, here, take the damn thing. I'm out. I'm getting out of here. Connor Cook, here's your MVP. I'm out. My ballot, Heisman Trophy, 2013. I'll start from the bottom. I stuck Braxton Miller at 4, really, and went with Jordan Lynch at 3. I just think sometimes a guy at Northern Illinois who, doesn't have great competition, but when your numbers are so ridiculously stupid that they can't be even maybe matched ever again or be a long time before that happens, he's got to get some consideration. I'm not giving him the trophy, but I think Jordan Lynch should be mentioned because his numbers were so whacked out, especially on the rushing for a quarterback. At number 2 spot, I put Jameis Winston from Florida State. I did not give my vote. I put Winston number 2 from Florida State. FSU didn't blow my mind with their schedule either, really, to be honest. But number 1, I gave the Heisman Trophy because nothing he did was the reason why Alabama didn't get to the national championship for a third straight time. He already led them to 2. Because obviously there was defensive problems and that weird, stupid play at the end of the Iron Bowl. A.J. McCarron for Heisman Trophy. I just think talk about a lifetime achievement award that needs to have, and he had a great year. So I gave the Heisman Trophy to A.J. McCarron. Rob, you got problems?
No, I don't have a problem. I understand the thinking behind it. I don't think that's a terrible pick or anything. I got you.
Good. Okay. I thought maybe I'd have a battle for him.
No, you know what? You
go with Jameis Winston.
But A.J. McCarron, you know what, Mark? I start thinking of him a little bit like Christian Laettner. Does that make sense?
How do you mean?
Just the college career, like you just said. You know, he's gotten 1-2 with them. Nothing he did. I just remember Christian Laettner was a dominant college player, and so was McCarron. So you shouldn't take away from him because, do you know what I mean? They didn't make it again, but he had great numbers, and he did what he was supposed to do. Do you know what I mean? He gets kind of penalized because they lost the game, but he didn't lose the game.
He did everything in his power offensively. He's not allowed to stop guys, and he certainly tried to continue drives, and then that weird last play could do nothing about it. I said at that point, I can't blame the quarterback here. I'm sorry, I just can't. Don't worry about this. We're good. Plus, we're way good on the time.
All right, I know.
Rob, I brought you shirts.
I know.
Respect.
All right.
But they're closing up here.
They'll never kick us out. Would you ever kick us out of here?
Yeah, she said get out.
See?
I heard her.
She just said no. How come we're not watching the Pistons, by the way?
It's over.
What's the final?
110-95.
What?
Miami.
I was the Heat won?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know. I know one thing about the Heat game tonight. We've been sitting here the whole time.
I pulled it up. I was doing my due diligence.
All right, give me the final numbers.
I just told you. It was really.
What did LeBron have? D-Wade didn't play, right?
It was really the third quarter that did the Pistons in, where Miami outscored them 32-17 in the third quarter, and that really, changed.
How crappy was KCP's numbers tonight?
Would you stop? Get off that kid.
Gets his act together and shoots, KCP has got a target on his back.
But I'll tell you this, though. The Pistons have
Caldwell Pope.
Have really been playing pretty well. They really have.
No, Brandon Jennings at 33 the other night against the Bulls. We knew that going in.
I tell people all the time, you don't score 53 points in the NBA game and not be that guy.
Look, one thing about the Pistons, that we're now at 10-11 with the loss to the Heat then. 10-10 going into it. When you start breaking streaks, you get relevance again. When they beat the Heat in Miami, that was a significant moment. When they finally won at the United Center, they hadn't beaten the Bulls there since 06. 14 straight at the United Center. They broke the streak and broke it big, 92-75. And Jennings led that. So that's two things you've done in a matter of a week that got my attention to Pistons basketball.
Okay, LeBron James had 24 points in the game. So it wasn't...
Who led the Pistons?
What do you want from me? Hold on.
Working your damn phone would be good.
You know I can barely see here.
Are you old man?
Stop it.
Oh, geez, what's coming in less... Is it less than a month now? No, just about a month plus.
Just about a month.
Just about a month. Have we mentioned that?
No.
Let's wait on it. Well, Rob turns a certain number.
Brandon Jennings, can you see it? I'm trying to make
it
bigger.
Yes, I can see it. No, that's team leaders, dude. You don't even have the right thing up.
What are you talking about? This was from the game.
No, that was their season average. Did he score 16.9 tonight?
Oh, is that what it said? Yes. Be quiet.
And LeBron had 24.3. I know you have a .3 number in the game.
But I just saw 24.
While you look for that, here's the schedule. Timberwolves are coming into the Palace Tuesday. They go down in New Orleans Wednesday for the Pelicans. Then they're home against the Brooklyn Nets on Friday. I love how Jason Kidd already demoted Al Frank. How sweet that is.
Yeah, but that should have happened anyway. I mean,
we should have hired him in the first place.
That was a bad move. I totally, especially because Frank was the head coach with the Nets organization. I know they're not in Jersey
anymore. They didn't get it at all.
But it's still in the same. You know what I mean? Like, you come back and you take a job, Mark, that you used to have. Your assistant, you used to be the head coach. So I think that was bad.
Blazers 17-4. We'll be at the Palace on Sunday. Then you get the Pacers Monday. We're 18-2, so they got a lot of games to play anyhow.
And Drummond had 19-14. So
good. All right, AD. Oh no, come on.
The kid is going to be a star.
But my only 20
years old.
My only caution about AD on Andre Drummond. My only caution is that I've seen the act in Minnesota with Kevin Love. He's a double double machine, 25-20. Tonight, in fact, he broke the record, and nothing happened there. So I just want the pieces around Andre Drummond to be better than the pieces around. And they tried that with Ricky Rubio. The pieces around Kevin Love.
He has the pieces because Jennings.
You see what I'm saying there about Kevin
Smith.
Love?
No, I like and their whole front line, Mark. They're scoring more points than any other team in the front in the paint. I mean, they're dominating and they're doing a lot of things. They're going to make the playoffs and they're going to be a sixth seed. That's why I got them.
Red Wings, scary bad at home still, even though they had a couple of...
I was at the Philadelphia game, and it was really... What did they give up, five goals in the
five
third?
Goals. Five goals. No, it was four in the third, but five total. It was 3-1, they lost 6-3.
Right, and four in the third period, it was just not good.
Well, it's not so much. They lose to the Panthers 2-1. In fact, they're going right back to Florida. They'll play Florida now down there on Tuesday, and then Yzerman on Wednesday, Tampa. Florida outshot the Wings in the last two periods at Joe Louis, 28-14.
Can I bring this up? The game I was at, I tweeted about it. I'm standing there about to walk out the building. It was Pavel Datsyuk bobblehead night.
Yeah.
So a woman has a bobblehead. A guy runs by, grabs her bobblehead, and runs out.
Oh, they want those bobbleheads, dude.
But I just, like, he robbed
her. My buddy Drew Soitcher from Denver who did that. He loves those.
He robbed her right there in the arena. Like, you know, I'm just standing there, and I didn't understand that they were playing around at first. You know, somebody runs by you, and then the security ran out the door.
Snatch and grab, huh?
I would have. Let me tell you,
if
I understood what was going on, because I just didn't think a guy would steal somebody's bobblehead and run out the building. I mean, it was literally he grabbed it, bumped into a security guard because he was trying to get out, escape, and there's like a lot of people in the lobby area, and then ran out the door.
You know, I've never opened my Rasheed Wallace bobblehead. It's still in the original packaging with the Pistons Christmas wrapping paper around it.
I have one bobblehead. You know,
Rasheed Wallace?
Nope. A Rob Parker bobblehead. Somebody made one for
just
me.
Just one?
And somebody made one out of wood and gave it to me at the ballpark. And I want to say gave it to me.
You got wood.
I got wood. Yes. And when he made it for me, I got wood. But I'm just saying, it was very nice. I still have it. That's the only bobblehead I have.
Jonas Gustafsson. That was his first regular season loss. He's now 8-1-1. The whole Jimmy Howard, what's going to happen? You know, I don't know. Datsyuk has the concussion. Zetterberg's got the hernia or whatever, disc in his back. It's probably more herniatic than anything. And Darren Helmott again. I mean, you tell me that Datsyuk, Zetterberg, Howard, and Helmott are not playing, and I'm wondering where the Red Wings are. And I think that it's a precursor to a season where you're going to be battling this idea that you're going to have more non-wins than you have wins all season. Right now they're at, 16 non-wins to the 15 wins they have. And I know Rich is down there all the time. Rich, is this a shadow of the former Wings? Let me ask you that.
It sure is a shadow. It's an outer shell of what once was a playoff team.
And I don't know what they do. Ken Holland is in a real pickle here because Ken Holland can't no one will deal with him. So he can't make trades in the season. We're past that. This is 20 years of Red Wing dominance. No one's going to help you get better again. So if Zetterberg, Datsyuk, and Helmer and Howard are all going to be out for any length of time, this could get really bad. I mean, it could be a long winter down there.
Oh yeah, I agree. There's no why would the NHL try to help out?
Nobody's going to help Ken Holland.
No, I got a Tiger thing when you're ready.
Well, we're going to get to baseball in a second. I want to mention the first full weekend of Big Ten hockey. I made a big stink about this the last podcast because I don't like the fact they did this. There's only six teams in the Big Ten Hockey League. It's a new original six. Michigan did win two over Ohio State. MSU actually beat the number one team in the country. Tommy Anastas got a win over Minnesota in a shootout. Wisconsin's 2-2 and Penn State is 0-2. I'm sorry, man. I can't follow this thing all year. I can't follow six teams all year. Seriously. I don't know why this was done. I think it was a horrible mistake, and I wish Jim Delaney would rethink it and start the CCHA up again. No, I'm telling you, that's how boring it is, Rob. I don't want to see Wisconsin and Penn State, the same five teams coming in to play MSU or play Michigan. It was interesting to watch Miami of Ohio. It was interesting to watch Notre Dame. I don't want to see this. What stupid ego does the Big Ten have to think that, we have six teams to play hockey. We're going to start our own league. Boring.
I
snooze.
I'm not going to argue with you.
All right, baseball winter meetings begin tomorrow, Monday, at the Disney World Swan and Pelican Reserve, or whatever it's called, Dolphin.
I've stayed there. Nice place. Nice area.
It's 112th. You know, you sound like Jim Price. You did that on purpose.
I did that on purpose. You didn't know that? You got it. Nice area.
I've stayed at the Swan before, never at the Dolphin. 112th winter meetings. What did you want? You wanted to do a Tiger thing here at this point?
Yeah. Tonight on a Sunday night on Sports Final Edition on the Clubhouse Confidential, I had that. Yes, my moles told me that the Tigers are in on Sin Shu Shu, but don't get your panties in a bunch thinking it's going to happen. There's a lot of teams, Mark, interested in him.
And I just 6-1-20 the number.
Yeah, that's that. If you don't come up with 120, you're not landing him. This is his big deal. He's in the prime of his career. He had an unbelievable on-base percentage. What was it, 436 or something like that?
It was over the top.
That's over the top.
Yeah, I mean, compared to the other numbers, that one.
Mark, that's the number that jumps out. You almost
only Joey Votto in the National League had a better one.
Right. And Joey Votto gets criticized because he'd rather take walks than knock in runs. And when you're getting paid that kind of loot that Joey Votto's making, I'm sorry. I don't want to walk. I want you to knock the guy in. Sorry. So anyway, that's the name out there. I don't believe it's going to happen. I don't think they're going to get him. I know the Tigers are in a cut mode, especially after the
Not a fire game. Sale, people.
No, it's totally different. We're not saying fire sale.
Let me tell you the difference.
But didn't we start this weeks ago, Mark? You looked at me like I had a third eye.
No. I didn't. Not because of, it was because of the way you directed about Scherzer. I never considered where the hockey rink was.
You just kept saying.
And I found out information about that.
No, I know, but you were saying to me, like, what do you mean they can't afford them? Just get money and sign. And I kept saying, they don't have the money for that. They don't.
But you didn't tell me why.
Tell them.
The hockey rink thing is the thing, and I wish people would get it in their head. He's on the clock for the hockey arena. And when I say that, I'm being funny. I call these hockey rink deals. It's a massive complex. The land purchase alone is going to end up being close to $100 million. They're about half the land's been purchased, and they're close to $65 million. So what he did here was he told Dombrowski, this is what I believe, Dave, you got to save me the initial land purchase, which will be about $80 to $100 million. How can we work this out? Trade Fielder, get Ian Kinsler, don't re-sign Peralta, be done with Infante, cut the budget with Benoit and Veris, only sign Nathan.
Right.
Make the deal for just let Fister go. Bye-bye. Get anything. Get three bags of balls for all I care. No one will miss Doug Fister. We'll get past it. Drew Smiley can own his place. Now, having said that, this is how it's going to be here from now on. This thing isn't. There's not a shovel in the ground yet there.
Mark,
over in Foxtown.
But you got to remember, he went out. He opened up his checkbook
for 10 years.
Right. And last year was the killer. Go back to the preseason polls. Everybody picked the Tigers, Mark, to win the World Series this year after making it last year and losing to the Giants. He spent $150 million and didn't get there.
Like you said on the podcast before, either didn't break even or barely broke even or lost money.
And you sold every ticket you could sell. Are there any more tickets to sell?
We've already done the numbers.
There are no more tickets to sell. It's like $3 million every
year. The average that a family of four comes with, even if you sold out the old place, which you don't do every night. Don't sell out the whole place every night.
No, but you get $3 million every year is what I'm saying.
So if you get that number with the amount of money, which is per season tickets and tickets of a family of four, okay, family of four, that means you divide the 40,000 with the four, it's 10,000 numbers. The best you can do is around $152 million. That's what it comes out to. It's a break-even deal. Now, that's before anything else.
Right.
Everything else is not profit.
And if you go to the World Series,
physical plants and
stuff, right? Then that's different. Then you got that money that remember, you're not paying salary for playoffs.
Just to pay your salaries was what I just mentioned about what the Tigers average per family of four over the course of sold-out games for 81 times per season. So that's a lot to ask. And nobody is in the business, whether you believe it or not, to lose money.
Nobody. You're not. That's not what you're trying to do. You're not trying to lose money. Look at what happened with the Yankees. They just refused it. They're not going to do it, Mark. You think the Yankees can't sign whoever they want and pay the luxury tax? Of course they can. Of course they can.
Just not good business.
They're not doing it. They won't do it.
Well, look, I'm not. So here's the difference. See, people, the negative phrase in baseball is fire sale. Fire sale is what Wayne Huizenga told Dave Dombrowski to do in 1998 after winning the World Series with Jim Leland in 97.
They got rid of everybody. They just get out. We're done.
And they lost 109 times after that. They went right back down to being a 53 and 109 team. That's right after winning a World Series. That's a fire sale. Got rid of Bonilla and
Kevin Brown.
And who was the pitcher? Al
Leiter. Al Leiter and Kevin Brown. They got rid of everybody.
Brownie, all those guys. That's the fire sale. No one. They're not trying to get rid of Verlander. They're not trying to trade Sanchez. They're cool on the deals they made. They're not trying to get rid of Miguel Cabrera. They're all staying. They're not going anywhere anytime soon.
They're trying to trim fat, and by not re-signing those guys, remember. And there's a chance in the winter meetings coming up that they could make a deal, and Austin Jackson might not be back because he's due a raise in arbitration, and they could look Porcello's due a raise in arbitration. All these guys are due raises. So there could be a chance where they might say, well, we'll take a younger guy or another guy. Hey, maybe we'll put Don Kelly out there. You know what I'm you don't know. I mean,
it's weird how you look at Scherzer here, and I'll tell you why.
Because you still got to sign him, Mark.
Right. Well, he's a third ARB. He's an ARB eligible. So there's an ARB number coming for Scherzer, right?
And it's going to be big.
It's going to be Tim Lincecum money after Lincecum won his Cy Young Award. And Lincecum got, I think, it was $17.5, $18 million.
Could be a little more than that.
Could be 20. Now, the Tigers can afford that. They've saved enough on what they've done so far that they can afford the $20 million if they have to pay for 1 year of Beck Scherzer. Give it a year. Here's what the benefit is. Do you really believe Scherzer's going to go 21-3 again? Anybody?
No way, no how. Okay. And that's not a diss of him. It's just the odds, the chances. More, everything has to go your way to have a year like that. Ask Verlander, right?
So if he doesn't go 21-3, the Tigers won't feel so bad if they don't have to re-sign him to a long-term deal. He could just escape and they save themselves more millions. Or let's say he goes 29-3.
And they win the World Series and they're good.
Everything's great. And guess what? Thank you, Max.
Now we can buy.
Put you on the open market, test it all you want. He'll get big money from someone else, and no one will say boo about it because you know what? You brought us our World Series.
That's all they're looking for.
So there's really no way to lose if you bring him back 1 year. You'll get some crap if he lets if you let him go now. If you hear tomorrow that he's traded to the St. Louis Cardinals.
Oh, right, right. People will be upset because then they're officially out. You know what I mean? Like now people feel like, well, they're not all the way in like they were.
Smiley
right?
could replace Fister.
But too many question marks. Right, Rondon and the eighth guy. We saw him last year, but I don't know if he's really ready for that. Nathan's fine as the closer, but can we get to Nathan? Do you know, like having his closer at the end, can we get there?
You're already telling me Max Scherzer never completes a game, so he doesn't even get that far.
So he never completes a game. You might not get there, you know what I mean, if the bullpen is set up right. Okay.
And what if Justin's not quite as – what if his fastball is sticking at 93 now, and it's not going to approach 97
and
average?
Can I break this, bring this up to you? Yeah, we saw him in the postseason, but he does dominate a particular team, and he's always done that. The regular season, he got hit. I mean, anybody who can ignore what happened in the regular season is crazy. I mean, we saw him.
He had that stretch, but he was freaking good after August 15th.
Yeah, but I'm just saying.
Pretty good.
I never saw him get hit the way he got hit.
All right, we'll be talking more about it. We thought we'd bring up. I just want to throw that out there. I mean, prove me wrong or prove Rob wrong that you're going to all of a sudden shell out 120 for Shin Soo Chu or 140 for Max Scherzer. I don't believe it. I don't. Really, with the Shin Soo Chu?
I'm sorry.
What did you think of the Yankees' moves, Cano and for the big money to Seattle, and then signing Beltran?
I'm not mad at Cano. Mark, it's $70 million more than was right. 60-70 million, dude, that's a lot of money. And you know what? The one thing that people don't understand, he's won a World Series. Not like, oh, I'm going to Seattle, I'll never win again. 2009, they won
a ring. He's got a ring.
Now he's got the prime of his career. He got a big deal. And the only thing I'm going to say was a mistake. When they leaked out that number, 10 years, $300 million, they painted themselves in a corner by doing that. Because, first of all, everybody was out. The Dodgers were out. So there was nowhere to really push the Yankees. Do you know what I mean? Like, if the Dodgers were in and maybe the Phillies and a couple other teams, then you say,
Even the Cubs looking to make a mark, right?
Cubs, no, they weren't. They're not in. So when you put that out there, you get painted into a corner where the Yankees are saying, go ahead, we're not budging. And then a bad team pays the bad team tax, which we talk about all the time, Mark, right? And that's what Seattle has to do in order to get back in the game. And I'm not mad at Seattle either. You know why? As Pat Riley always said, either you're in or you're out.
We see Seattle's the
price. No,
this is the price of relevance.
Yes.
The price of relevance became 10 years, $240 million.
Right? And normally you wouldn't have to pay that much, but we talk about
bad team tax.
Bad team tax. Just like when the Tigers first signed Pudge. Remember they paid? And Maglio. You remember that? They gave him up. Maglio was coming off an injury. They had to come up with the loot.
And I give the Yankee brass and the Steinbrenner, Jenny and the Hank and all the people and Cashman a lot of credit for holding their guns and saying, when the guy wants to come and talk reality to us, we'll talk. As if the Yankees should say that about a player, because they haven't been dealing in reality for a long time. But they held to it,
they didn't sign him. They're not going over to 189. They've been saying it for 2 years, Mark, that they're not going to pay. What is it, a dollar for dollar? I'm not going to pay that. They're not going to do it.
The Tigers won't be selling Nate McLouth, who was a Muskegon guy. He went to the Nationals for 2 years, 10.75. I kept hearing his name, that he was an option to go play left field or something if Andy Dirks, you know, because Andy had a terrible year. So, you know, Beltran's off the thing and McLouth is off the thing.
Well, Dirks right now, according to Dave Dombrowski, just starting left field.
Well, it has to be because you got to start pumping him up. I've seen people write, McLouth might be coming here, gone. And I've seen that Beltran could be coming. Well, he's already gone, too, for pretty good money. He wasn't coming here.
And people were saying the big thing on Beltran was they didn't want to give him the third year. Well, as soon as...
Third eye?
As soon as Cano left, the Yankees came up with that third year.
Yeah, of course they did.
You notice how the best headline on the Daily News in New York on the signing of Ellsbury. Back page, the Ellsbury Doughboy.
Ellsbury Doughboy. But that was huge money for
Loved
Ellsbury.
It. Oh, yeah.
That was big. That was way too much for Ellsbury.
142 could
That's
be
ridiculous.
153.
Yeah. couple other things, and then we'll get the hell out of here, out of Billy Sims. They want to kick us out. Just to mention college basketball, MSU obviously out of number one after the loss to Roy Williams in North Carolina at Breslin.
What did I tell you? Come see me after they win the championship. Other anything else from Michigan State, I could care less.
Spartans' only game this week is against Oakland U. They got Greg Campy at the Palace on Saturday. Any thoughts about Greg Campy? I know what you're thinking.
I'm hoping that Greg Campy can pull up another one. That would be great.
Come on, Travis Bader. Do your job against the Spartans. Now, Michigan has a huge game because the new number one team in the country will be Arizona. They play Arizona on Saturday, noon at Chrysler. The Wildcats are 9-0 after beating UNLV at the McHale Center, which is now 40 years old in Tucson. I couldn't believe when I saw that beautiful place. I've been there a couple times.
They built that after he got off the show. McHale's name.
McHale's Navy. It's McKale. Different spelling. So they still have a game against New Mexico State on Wednesday, but then they come to Chrysler. Huge game for John Beilein to show anything. Could knock off number one at home, Sean Miller. And they beat Houston Baptist. Michigan did 107-53 yesterday. Tied a school record with 16 triples. Your boy Nick Stauskas had 25. And the two freshmen, Walton and Irvin, I think both had 14. And you went to Central Connecticut, is that correct? Or is Southern Connecticut?
Southern Connecticut.
Because Ohio State beat Central Connecticut 74-56, and I wanted to razz you that was your school. I never can remember where the hell he goes. You know, if he ever would go to a school that had a basketball program, he'd care. Like Columbia and Central Connecticut or Southern Connecticut or whatever it is. Final thing, Tiger Woods has his little golf tournament. Might have been the best thing all weekend with all the football and all the stuff. Tiger's got the lead at Sherwood, 18th hole, fourth round. Looks like he's going to win his little golf tournament again. Zach Johnson is in the drop area. He's just waiting for him to finish up so that Tiger can get the accolades, do the thing, and have sex with Lindsey Vonn. That's how it works, you know. He just does the thing, and then right out of the course, he has sex with Lindsey Vonn. Because she's got to get to the Olympics and do her skiing thing, even though she's hurt. So Zach Johnson takes a shot. He holes out from the drop area to tie Tiger Woods. He went in the hole. It went in the hole. Forces a playoff. Tiger's thinking he's finished. So he's got to postpone the sex with Lindsey Vonn. They go to the playoff. Tiger chokes on a 5-foot putt. Zach Johnson wins the World Golf Challenge at Sherwood and enters the top 10 in world ranking points because of it. Because he hits a shot in from the drop area. Isn't that amazing?
That's amazing. Now, where was this? You skipped over the Lucy Nolan update. What is that? I'm reading your notes. That's what I'm more interested in that than Tiger Woods.
Tiger? I give you that.
No, Lucy Nolan.
Well, it's an old bit we used to do, obviously. Mark had a little thing, you know, Lucy Nolan at Fox 2 at the time.
We all had a thing.
Lucy came on the show. Remember, we had Lucy come on.
Mark, I think you. What was her line?
She was very complimentary.
She was very nice.
She was very nice, but she said she was taken at the time.
Right, Mark was loving
her. Well, she's a free agent now. She just got fired.
From Houston?
Los Angeles.
Oh, really?
She had gone to KNBC LA and just got let go in Los Angeles during Colleen Williams, a longtime Los Angeles anchor, just replaced Lucy Nolan in LA, and I just wanted to mention that she was out there. If you have a job opening for an anchor and you got a gig, call Lucy up or hit her on Facebook or Twitter, and she'd love to hear from you.
She went to New York from here, Channel 5.
And then Houston.
Right.
Houston, Texas. So Lucy Nolan is available. She got bagged in L.A. That's it. That's all I got. After Tiger and Lucy Nolan, I didn't even see that on here. I didn't realize I put that on.
I was reading your notes. You didn't think
I didn't see it. I looked at that and never looked down. All right. Anything to promote to finish?
Nope. Don't forget, Sports Final Edition every Sunday night after football and 11:30 when football season's over, of course. TheShuttleLeague.com and click on Detroit.com.
I'm trying to think if I got anything. You know, go to YouTube and look at my YouTube videos. Mark Wilson, Fox 2. So they got to write in the search bar and see those. Rich, what do you got? Anything?
O'Toole's Wednesday night, 6 p.m., December 11th. Be there.
O'Toole's is where in Royal Oak?
It's 11 and a half in Maine.
You can't miss O'Toole's. It's right there. So go check out Richie Curbelo, and they can hit you up on Twitter. Do you got a Twitter? What do you got? You got a Facebook? What do you got?
Facebook under Rich Curbelo, C-U-R-B-E-L-O, and Rich Curbelo on Twitter.
And thanks to Billy Sims Barbecue for letting us always stay here, 10 Mile and Telegraph. Go see Billy when you're looking for some good-ass Boomer Q. You got to love, I love that brisket, man. I love me some brisket. Rob, that's going to do it. So he's Rob Parker.
He is the man, Mark Wilson. We'll see you next time.
Your time and our time. Happy holidays, and we'll hit you up before Christmas.
That's right. And we see you later.